Every day in our city, there are several thousand women, men, and children that are homeless. Many may not look that way because they have a temporary shelter from a family member or acquaintance. No promise of food for tomorrow. No real job prospects. No clear direction. Survival is the goal. But there is help. There's a source of relief. There is support waiting and willing to come alongside these individuals. The source of optimism is an organization called Open Door Mission. The Open Door Mission is a Christian rescue mission founded on the belief that with proper resources, hope can be restored, and lives of impoverished men, women, and children of Rochester, New York could be forever changed. Now, here is the executive director of the Open Door Mission, Anna Valeria Eisman, with our monthly program, Hope Lives.
Hi, everyone. My name is Anna Valeria Eisman. I'm the CEO at the Open Door Mission, and this is Hope Lives. Here with me again this month is Kate Munzinger. Kate, thanks for being here.
Of course, Anna. It's always fun to be here.
So we have an exciting guest on the show today. Our relatively new shelter manager, Karen, will be joining us. And so we'll give
she
a little
is,
bit
but,
of
I mean,
a,
just yeah. a couple months maybe, right?
Yeah,
at the most.
A few now maybe, but okay. Yeah. Yeah, so she's new. She's new.
And maybe some of the listeners that had a chance, we did a really cool, was it a Facebook Live?
Yes, interview with her.
Interview yeah. with her before. So for yeah. those who didn't catch it on Facebook Live, we'll kind of do it again today.
Yeah, she's doing a dynamic job. She's really, she really has a heart for the people we serve. And so she's been here for a few months, and I just... made it to 10 years at Open Door.
Isn't that crazy?
Last week. That is crazy. I feel crazy. but here
so
we are.
So much has happened and grown. I would like to know? I would like to know how many buildings we started with when you started. Like how many?
Started with two.
Okay. That is crazy.
Would you like to know how many
yes,
we are in
I
now?
Do.
We are in six. Okay. So hence the crazy talk.
And we have found on the executive team, the more we tell Anna, no more buildings that we shouldn't say that because then the next month
someone calls me
some wonderful
and says,
opportunity
you
pops
know,
up.
I've got something and I'd really like to, you know, help yep. the mission grow their programs and how can you refuse?
What cool expansions they've been.
Yeah, they really have. And actually one of my
it's hard to even say which one's the, you know,
which is the best
or
the
most
meaningful.
Most, yeah.
Yeah. I had someone, I was actually sharing that with someone that I said we need to get to a point where we're not just continuing to buy more property and we just need to settle in where we are because, you know, my team is going to go nuts. And the person who was kind of a mentor of mine said, well, is it why? Like, why? You know? And I said, well, I don't know because it gets them, you know, are they doing too much? Are they moving too quickly? I don't want to burn them out. And he was like, well, you know, if you mitigate some of those issues, maybe you could still continue to grow and prevent the burnout. Is there a way to do both? And, you know, that yeah. probably was terrible advice to give me.
So. I know. And next month we'll be closing on our 10th property.
Oh,
no,
wait,
just
yeah,
kidding.
We're not even gonna. Speaking of shelter, though, we will get into conversation with Karen. We are very, very full. Karen is going to have lots of things to share, and we're encouraging her to share both the wonderful things that are happening there as well as some of the challenges we're seeing. So,
yeah,
this will be a
and for
real
it to
talk.
Be very full now, just. I mean, historically, I mean, not last year, but generally, don't we kind of see a decrease in the warmer months, right? That's what it used
oh,
to be?
Yeah. Yeah. We over the years, you know, again, this is 10 years since I've been with Open Door, but even beyond, before that, when I was working in the field and seeing these trends in shelters, you would see a dip in the first week or so of the month when mm-hmm. people who have access to income, that would come in, and then also during the summer months. And really, not just summer, but spring through fall, you know, as long as there's outside options or just easily, you know, the weather allows people to move more freely during the day, we would have people, the numbers would really go down between April and November. So we have seen for really since 2020 and before that even, year-round code blue numbers. And when I first came, code blue was 70. Code blue is now 100. So,
and that's just really for capacity reasons, too. I think we could be
that's
even
a
higher.
Fire code. Right. Right. Yeah.
I mean.
So, yeah. So let's get Karen on the phone and we will see what she has to say about those things. And I think we have Karen right now. Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about kind of how you came to Open Door, a little bit about your background and what your role is.
I will start by saying I have experienced homelessness myself at a very young age. Mm-hmm. So I am very relevant mm-hmm. to how our guests feel mm-hmm. And what that looks like, because I was there once.
Yeah.
I think Anna, I had told you I had originally went into interior decorating, mm-hmm. And then had a son with some mental health challenges, mm-hmm. which threw me into the mental and behavioral health field.
Yeah.
With that said, I worked with the youth population. I worked in a parenting, coaching of a parenting situation, and with adults. And I had Anna and I had this discussion earlier. It popped up on my phone, the job description and the job listing, mm-hmm. and it touched me, and I prayed on it for 4 days, mm-hmm. and said, you know what, this truly is my calling, mm-hmm. and walking in to the Open Door Mission in a large aspect is like being home, I think, because I'm so relevant to it. And I understand it. So it's kind of, that's really in a nutshell what has brought me here.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And we're so glad you're here. I remember when I came to do, we were just talking about before you came on, Karen, when we did the chapel service where we kind of did that interview for the guests to get to know you a little bit when you first came. And I remember one of the times when I had first seen you at the shelter and I said, so how's it going so far? And your response was, it's home. And I thought that was just a cool response, especially considering the nature of the work for folks who do not currently have the comfort of a home. You have made your home with them, and I think that means a lot to them. And you can see that when you come in. And I had to, you know, practically pull you out of a hug with a guest to come up because it was time to do this chapel service. So
Karen, why don't you?
And that hasn't changed, Anna.
Yeah. Good to know.
Karen, why don't you just tell our listeners just kind of a little bit about what you do each day?
Yes.
My main goal, I will tell you, and I work really, really hard to provide a safe environment, an environment of acceptance. An environment of avocation and empowerment. Mm. And these are things that I know personally that's hard to find. It's hard to find somewhere that will provide encouragement, avocation, mm-hmm. support, and aspiration.
Yeah.
So my goal here is to provide all of that.
Which takes us beyond the, you know, kind of the day-to-day, the day-to-day tasks, right? Those all have to be covered.
Right.
Things like checking in
right.
and intake and making sure people are getting access to the beds and the meals and the clothing.
Correct.
But it's much deeper than that. And we do like
for
to, yeah. And we like to set an environment where if people are with us for an hour because they're just coming in for a meal out of the cold, or if they're with us for months at a time because of their situation, you know, it's good that we're looking deeper at how to serve the whole person, regardless of how much time they're with
Absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely.
It
it's amazing in talking to a lot of our guests, probably more, and this is concerning to me, more than not, I've had guests tell me how, and I'm not referring to the entire community, but how people just walk by them, they step over them.
Yeah.
I don't want to get emotional about it, but it's just such a lack of dignity and respect for just being a human being.
you know,
so coming here, my goal is to you know, under God's will, through acceptance, love, like I said, support, advocation, empowerment, all of those things go into what we strive for mm-hmm. every day.
Yeah.
So why shouldn't our people struggling strive for that?
Yeah. I've noticed that in my years of, you know, doing outreach, especially, you know, street outreach with folks who are out literally, you know, on the street, when more times than not, they are much more willing to receive and grateful for just the conversation and coffee. I mean, I started doing this work by going under bridges and bringing coffee with me and just sitting next to people and waiting for them to be comfortable to talk. And it wasn't about giving them something or, you know, because there's been times where you will offer a bed or a hotel room or a bed, a shelter bed, and they'll refuse. They'll politely refuse. But hey, sure, I'll stick around, have a cup of coffee with you and tell you my story. And, you know, so many times they just want to be heard and noticed. And it's not just about what they don't have materialistically. It's about what they don't have in the deeper areas of life that they're right. longing for.
Right. And what you provided, Anna, just by doing that, was just letting them know they matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their
yeah.
stories matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're recognized.
Yeah.
And so here... And that's what I try to do on a daily basis, mm-hmm. along with other managerial duties.
Yes.
But that's really the most important. Our guests are the most important.
That's right. So talk a little bit, in the few minutes we have, Karen, a little bit about some of the... Maybe let's start on a high note. Kate, I'm taking your question from you, but, you know, mission moments, right? Like some highlights of some things that have, you know, some positive things that are going on. And then let's talk about some of the challenges we're seeing, because we know the challenges are great, too, but good things are happening. So do you want to talk a little bit about that?
I will start with the high moments. And I will tell you the first day that I started here, I was walking around and visiting with the guests and hearing their stories. And we had chapel, and I just stood in the back, and I just wanted to oversee, and one of our guests came up, and she just wrapped her arms around me, and she just stood there, and we just held each other and kind of rocked a little bit all through chapel, and it was an unspoken language. It was an unspoken thing.
Yeah.
And she had said to me after the fact, several weeks after the fact, she said she could not remember the last time she was ever received a hug.
Wow.
So that for me is that these things are so pivotal.
Yeah.
They're so important. That's why we do what we do.
That's right. Yep. That's great. And obviously one thing that we are dealing with, we were talking about this, I think, before you came on, just the numbers. the numbers are increasing, and
they are.
We're not really ever truly leaving code blue winter numbers. And so can you talk about what that means? You know, how does that translate into challenges at the shelter for you and your staff?
So for our for our main shelter, it is a huge challenge. So I will tell you, I have seen some of our guests go into panic mode mm-hmm. when they're getting in line waiting just to be assigned to a bed. We are so, and I have pictures, we are so overloaded at night that we have people sleeping in chairs. We don't have enough cots. And I am a person that, quite honestly, I have a real hard time turning someone away.
Yep.
I would rather have them come and sit on the stairs and be warm and have something to eat, rather than be on the street.
Yeah.
And that is still continuing, even when we were, well, of course, when we were in cold blue, but it is still continuing.
Yeah. And all the time that I've been here, and even that I've been, you know, even before being employed by Open Door, visiting as a case manager, you know, or an outreach worker, I have not seen this level in the 15 years plus I've been doing this work. And so I guess my question is, you know, because you're talking about not wanting to turn people away, which I think that's one of the reasons that you're such a good fit, is because I feel the same way. And that's right. Like, in is in. In the shelter is in the shelter. So let's, you know, even if let's not let the, you know, what's the saying? Perfect be the enemy of the good. Right. Could be the enemy of the perfect. Oh, you know what I mean? So a cot is better, or a chair is better, or a stair is better than the sidewalk. So,
absolutely. So we have people sleeping on the floors.
Yeah. And so how, you know, so one of the things that we're talking about is, you know, and this is where, you know, getting a little real here. We have reached out to, I'll just say generically, you know, government entities and representatives trying to advocate for support. We have had two buildings that we had easy access to, that we could have moved into, that would have helped with our capacity issues. And then you get, you know, kind of typical responses about moving in, and they range from the, you know, not in my backyard to zoning and codes and all of that kind of thing. So, you know, as we, I really wanted people to hear from you the reality of what we're facing, because we're really at a critical point where if we are seeing these kind of numbers now, where our normal is max capacity, we don't have the capacity to enter another code blue season. We just don't. And there is nowhere for anyone to go. There's nowhere.
Yes. What I would do, honestly, is I would challenge all of those people to come in and meet with me at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Yep.
They need to see it.
Yep.
Because we can all talk a good game, but unless you're standing in the middle of it, you can't possibly understand what we're saying.
Right. And to see what it looks like, what it's looking like for the people we serve. Because, you know, on the other hand, what we're met with when we talk about numbers and capacity and issues like that is some of the pushback is, another solution could be, well, let's just, you know, mass convert hotels into shelters. And we know that that's not the answer either, right? Because we want to be in a situation where people are coming in, and we don't want them to just come in and sleep for the night. We want them to have access to resources to overcome whatever circumstances they're in when they are ready to enter that walk, right? And ready to engage with those resources. If we just put everybody in rooms by themselves and with no supervision and services and all of that, we're going to see what we saw during COVID, which was people dying and being assaulted and the things that happened in those places. So, you know, we're really at a critical place right now where we cannot make it to another winter unless we address this issue now. And I can
I can
feel Kate looking at me thinking that means another building.
No, but I know I said that, but we need it so badly.
Yeah,
and what you had mentioned before, too, is just it's not that we don't have places to go.
Right.
We have had found two beautiful places to go that would give us enough space. You know, and we
weren't even asking for money.
No,
we were going to pay for them.
No, and that's the other thing. It's private. You know, it would have been private dollars.
Yeah.
So, but beautiful places that had a kitchen and everything that we needed. But with the zoning the way it is, they just won't let us move.
Yeah.
So
which again, and you know, I don't want to just throw this out there, but why? What was it? Why was it based on? On the environment? Was it based on, I wonder why.
Yeah. And there's
what was that based on?
Yeah. There's multiple responses. And I want to be cautious to the relationships we have with our, you know, with our partners in service, you know, that includes government entities. We have wonderful relationships with them. And I definitely don't question intent or motive or indifference, you know, on their behalf. I think there's a lot of things to work with. And what we're saying is, okay, we've kind of been nice and patient about this for 2 years. It's been two full years that we've been bringing this concern and saying this is not sustainable. And here we are. And we're not ready to go into the next year. We can't go a third year, you know. So I think that's where we're at. And I wanted people to hear the reality from you, Karen, because this is real. It affects staff. It affects guests. It affects, burnout rates anxiety.
The thing that I think that will resonate with people, too, is it affects retention. You know, because of staff, because if we have a space that's not big enough, it's very hard on staff. And if we don't have a solution of how we're going to make that better, mm-hmm. and we've had several solutions, mm-hmm. but they just can't come to fruition for, you know,
whatever reason. Yeah. So, Karen, in the last couple minutes, this is your opportunity to make a plea to the listeners for why it's so important that we I think what we're looking for is, you know, really prayer support, financial support, and options, doors to open for what this next step may be. So a couple minutes to kind of complete your thoughts on that.
Well, I will tell you, and this is the truth. What I need people to understand is I want you to imagine going without a paycheck for two pay periods. This could be your reality. It is very possible that everybody who is listening go without a check for 2 weeks to a month. This could be your reality. Yeah. This is what you could be stepping into.
Yeah.
Anna, you know me, I just kind of, as they say, keep it real. Mm-hmm. That's a real thing to think about. And I think once people really look at it on that aspect, maybe maybe a change of attitude or a change of, maybe some more resources will step up, because nobody's born homeless.
Right. Right.
These are all circumstances that are very realistic, not just to you and me, but to everybody.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. That's right.
But I think there just needs to be a better understanding of that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think that's what we're kind of seeking right now is partnership. Access, prayer support, all of the things, volunteers. Yeah. You know, we've talked about this before. I was actually just talking about this at a conference that I was on a panel at with Browncroft Community Church, one of our church partners, a few weeks ago. And I was talking about how important it is for volunteers to, especially, you know, seasoned believers who can come in and just, it was a conference on spiritual conversations and bringing people in to just sit, like we were talking about, you know, just sit down, sit among our guests. Don't just come in and serve a meal, sit down at the table and eat, or come during any time of the day where there's anywhere from 50 to 100 people sitting inside and just sit down next to someone and have a conversation. And how much, how powerful that can be to someone when it comes to behavioral issues, prevention. Like you never know if someone is sitting there on the brink of a breakdown and someone calming presence comes and sits next to them and just asks them to share their story and talk, and how that can just, ease the, the nerves and the, issues that someone might be facing. You just never know. So I think those kinds of things are the things we're looking for too. So, all right. Karen, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you. We appreciate your commitment to our work and to your staff and to our guests. And we'll see you at the shelter.
Well, thank you. I hope I answered everything.
You did great.
You're perfect.
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you both so much.
Yep. Thanks, Karen. Well, let's talk about Karen and then you can ask me.
Okay. So we do love Karen. Karen's doing a great job. She's got her hands full.
She has her hands full, but the first thing that comes to mind when talking to Karen is just how much compassion she has. Yeah. I mean, that is the exact person that you need.
It is. It really
somewhere
is.
In there. Because that is the first thing that you need when someone walks in the shelter is they need to feel compassion and, mm-hmm. and what she talks about is dignity.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, we talk about dignity every day, I think, at Open Door. So, so important. And she really seems like a great fit.
She's a great example. And she's been in the, and you walk in there and you see how much the guests and the staff appreciate her and are welcoming her.
And if you're listening now and you're feeling moved and you also want a job at the shelter and you want to work for Karen, we're still hiring.
Yes. And I, you know, and just to kind of go back a little bit, you know, on the issue of, you know, finding a space and all that, you know, we do have really wonderful partners in the community and our representatives are good. We have great relationships.
And
we
just need to figure something out here. And a lot of them are trying to do all they can for us.
They really are.
It's hard. We're in an older space. It's a smaller space, and the need is great.
So. Yeah, I was on the phone with a friend last night who was like kind of going through like all the, literally was just looking at available, potentially available spaces, you know, all around where we are, and they're there. It's just a matter of trying to find the right one and making sure that there's a willing collaboration on the part of everyone that would be affected by that. So,
and obviously, people can, you know, hear us talking, and it's not easy work what we do, so it does have to be the perfect space.
It does. It really does. Yeah. So, but,
a lot of factors in that.
A lot of factors. And we are facing with, you know, a lot of counter factors on the outside, you know, when, again, we've been seeing a significant increase in behavioral issues, and a lot of that does, you know, we've talked about this before, it stems from, you know, policies that are out there that are reducing, if not eliminating, accountability for actions. And so we're seeing that manifest itself into a small space with a lot of people.
You know, it has occurred to me that when we started this conversation a half an hour ago, we were talking about how big we've grown and that, you know, we have so many new buildings. And now you have me convinced again
that we need another building.
That we need more buildings.
Just one more.
Just one
Just
more.
Just one more.
Big one. See
right,
what happens,
on that
people?
Note, yeah. On that note, and we still need some things for our building.
Oh, so we sure do.
And we got one minute to talk about what we need.
This is the time of year where we really have to start, you know, what we call is like a restocking. So we get a lot of supplies, you know, around Christmas time, Thanksgiving time, a lot of donation drives, which are so awesome. But the stockpile starts to dwindle around now. So Isaac, our kitchen supervisor, you know, I had him just run through the pantry and see, and we really need everything. We need all the staples. So, you know, that's pasta sauce, that's soup cans.
So non-perishable.
Non-perishable.
All sorts of non-perishable.
You know, just your, all non-perishable food. And I'm just going to add coffee cups, paper products to that too. Yeah. And then the clothing room too, same thing. Change of season means we need new
summer clothes.
Summer clothes.
Shorts, t-shirts, socks, underwear.
T-shirts, always socks and underwear. But, you know, we really need a lot of supplies right now. An easy thing for listeners to do is to go on our Amazon wish list and just, you don't have to order from Amazon, but you'll see either on our website or Amazon what we need. I know people have updated every day, so check it out, opendoormission.com.
Okay. Thank you, Kate, once again for being here. I'll see you next month.
I'll see you next month.
And Hope Lives.
Thank you for joining us for Hope Lives with the Open Door Mission's Executive Director, Anna Valeria Eisman. For more information or to make an impact along with us, go to opendoormission.com.